Damas y caballeros, este episodio of Mongol Road Talks is brought to you by T-Hawk. Mr. Thunderhawk is a Native American from Mexico who made his first Condor Dive appearance in Super Street Fighter II, The New Challengers. An immensely tall and bulky man with long, powerful arms and legs, T-Hawk is commonly known for his brave, tough, selfless, noble spirit. Always defending his Thunderfoot tribe, T-Hawk wants nothing more than revenge from M. Bison for killing his father, Arroyo Hawk, and brainwashing his beloved Julia, who became Julie, one of Bison's dolls. I never knew that. Your screams sound like a pathetic war cry. Your totem pole is too great for your desperate techniques. It is a good day to die, are a couple of his most common quotes. As a fellow Mexicano, I have always loved T-Hawk since I was a little kid. His size and character model always stood out in front of all the other fighters in the cast. But that being said, he seriously has one of the best Street Fighter stages. Viva T-Hawk! Okay, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to episode 6 of Mongolo Robotalks. I am Mongolo Robocop, and do I have a special one announcement and a special guest for you guys today. First, we'll start with the announcement that kind of leads into the special guest. So special announcement is I will have a new co-host starting today to Mongolo Robotalks, and that is Mr. Dangerous Papercut. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on your show again, and I'm honored for the privilege. Thank you so much.
Dude, well, you shouldn't be honored. I'm honored, dog, because actually, I shouldn't be honored. Everybody who's listening to us should be honored to have this dream team together, dude.
So good. Good.
This is going to be hype now, dude, because it kind of sucks talking to myself every once in a while, you know, on this podcast. So, dude, thank you. Thank you again for accepting, for being, you know, my right-hand man.
Anytime, bro. I told you that earlier, man.
That's good, dude, because, you know, sometimes a right-hand man gets a little bit dirty, you know? You know what I do with my right hand. But what better man than Mr. Dangerous Papercut to be my right-hand man and my co-host. So how you been, man? How you been since the last time we had a chat on this great podcast?
Good. Shit, since the last time you got me really, really hyped for ST again, I started watching a whole bunch of tournaments, watching videos, and just thinking about Street Fighter a lot, man.
Well, I'm glad I got that juice back up, man. Like, I'm glad I got that intensity back into not just you, but I know some other players that I've been kind of either watching them at tournaments, kind of reading the stuff online. And I'm glad that this scene is healthy and it's coming back, and not just coming back with Super Turbo, but even coming back with some of the older titles, man. That's crazy shit, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about that. Hyper Fighting.
Oh, dude, we have some shit to talk about today, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude. Hell yeah, man. I'm pumped for this, dude. So, before we get started, you know, once again, on behalf of myself and now Mr. Dangerous Papercut, you know, I want to thank everybody for just keeping the support and keeping just listening to this. Like I said, I'm having tons of fun, and even if I get one, two people to listen to this, it's better than none, right? So thank you for everybody out there. And like I said, keep practicing that Super Turbo. And I hope that myself and Mike can bring in new players and continue just making everyone better at this game. You know, we're going to try and talk about the game a little bit better and not just kind of talk shit about it, you know, so even though we will, but it's that's what we're going to be doing. So so Mike, since last time that we talked, man, there's been a couple things happening in the FGC.
Yeah, we had, well, we're talking about Spring Series. We're all hard about that. Like, it was such a great tournament. And then, Texas Showdown just came around. And I enjoy watching that as well.
Dude, well, definitely, man. Like, I've never had the opportunity to go and play at Texas Showdown. Have you ever gone to that tournament before or no?
No, you know what? I thought the whole ST world was revolved around SoCal. So now I'm starting to see like pockets of like, you know, other scenes like Chicago, Texas, New York, Florida, and everything. And it's like it's awesome to see, you know, how big it is and how big the scene is and how many players are actually out there. Like before when I played, I just thought basically SoCal was the ST universe. That was it. Like that,
you know. You just thought this was like the where ST was invented. This was the mecca of ST, dog.
Not invented, but like it, like the best. And then, you know, like now I started to really watch because I don't play anymore. When I played, I was like, remember I mentioned before, I was like a narcissist. Like it's just everybody's trash. But now that like I took a step back and like I could see, oh shit, they're good out there. You know what I mean? Like people have their players and their regions have their top dogs and their kings of their, you know, perspective, you know, their areas.
Yeah. No, for sure, dude. But dude, like you said, dog, I mean, yes, there's other areas, but dude, we're West Coast. We're still the best, right? West Coast.
Yeah. And we got Yamdai. We have Riz one. Dude.
Oh shit, dude, we have Damn Die now, dude, dog, we got Afro Legends, dog, that's all we need. We got Papa Valle, we got Watts, we got Choi, even though, you know, they come out every once in a while.
I mean, like, everybody, like, DGV, Shoto's All Day, Eltra, Tanya, it's stacked, but, I mean, let's not fucking jerk ourselves off right now, dude. Like, fucking get back to the program, Caesar.
Okay, my bad. I was hyping myself up, dude. That's what happens when you throw West Coast up in there, dog.
I know.
Well, anyways, you know, kind of talking about a Texas Showdown, dude. I did have the opportunity as well to check it out, and it was a good, solid tournament, man. Like, it was actually pretty awesome seeing some players that I've seen already from Spring Series. I know, like, I think Michael Beltran was there. I saw Jumpsuit Jesse. I saw C Vital. And I mean, the tournament was pretty tight, man. And the other
guys, there was a lot of free play arcade guys there too. The Papasi Part 2 or 2.0, what's his name? Jeremy Witters.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy, the boat guy.
Yeah. A bunch of other people, but then this tournament has some players that I remember from the HDR days. C Vital for sure, and then Raging Storm X is another HDR player. Jumpsuit Jesse, and then FUD. He's Hollywood now. He's called Noun, I guess. He's
Dude, my bad, FUD. I can't believe I freaking straight up was talking about these other guys, and I didn't give FUD some props, man, dude.
But they don't call him FUD anymore.
So dude, like, I don't give a shit, dog. He's Nate. He's FUD. I know you go by Noun, but dude, what the hell, dude? Noun, dog, FUD. It's like I just think of Elmer FUD every time I hear FUD, dude.
See, how Fudgyless was his name before, and that name is awesome. I don't know why he changed it, dude. To me, he's still Count Fudgyless. But
he is. No, he is. And actually watching FUD, dude, he literally has leveled up a lot. And like I said, I have a long history with Nate, and I love seeing him still playing and helping, not just playing in the tournament, but I don't know if you keep up. I think you've seen his post that he does. He does like a normal of the week on the Facebook page. And dude, that's awesome, man. And that kind of helps everybody. Because it's... Dude, the detail of the shit that he does, dude, is freaking badass, man.
not only that, he has like entertainment value. You know, he's like throws some jokes in there, like a scene or a video that like, you know, catches people's attention and draws them in. And then you start to read it and it's like, oh, okay, this is pretty deep. Like this will really help your gameplay if you pay attention and follow along.
Dude, and Fight, if you're listening to this, man, like I said, I miss you, man. I hope I see you soon. And without you, man, there wouldn't be the great Daigo story when I noogie Daigo, because if it was Fudd who was recording that got that whole me yelling and being a drunk mess and blah blah blah. But you know, without Fudd, that wouldn't have happened.
The super turbo historian, dude. Like he's always every time, like ever since I knew him. Known him from when I first met him, he's always had that little camcorder just recording certain things and just catching like moments and time that would have been lost in history if it wasn't for him. So shout outs to that.
Dude, and that's what we need in this scene, because I feel like there's so much history behind freaking Super Turbo, and that's one of the reasons that I want, you know, that me and you are doing this podcast now, that we want to let the people know. It's not just like, oh yeah, you know, there's a tournament coming up and this. No, dude, we want to like bring in people who have been in the scene and like have lived it, can tell a story, so they can help like new players or people that weren't around a couple years ago being like, yo, dude, this game, there's tons of history behind it, man. It's not just, I don't want it just to be like, oh, Capcom Cup and SF5, you know. It's like, dude, we have way more hype moments than all that shit, you know.
It's a like a lifestyle, and you meet friends that are going to be your friends for life, and it's more like an experience. You can't just call it like a game or whatever, you know what I mean?
No, definitely, man. And like you said, it's not just a game, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, dude. You said it the best, dude. Because dude, not anybody can hang in the Super 2 scene, that's for sure. But anyways, dude, you know, talking about Texas Showdown, let's see, I have the results here. So in the top 8, so in winners, we had Nound. We had Nound versus C Vital. Then we had Chris Dat versus Jumpsuit. I know Jumpsuit's your boy, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and then in losers, I think we had, let's see, PHS Juices versus Turtle Power, and then Raging Storm versus Enforcer. So out of all these 8 players, I mean, I'm kind of, I FUD, C Vital, Jumpsuit, Chris Dat. I know everybody mostly, except for I the first time I ever saw PHS Juices and Enforcer. But according to what I was hearing at the tournament, Enforcer, you know, I think he's a local there. Dude, and he's, I don't know if you saw it, but he was the Ryu player that I guess he lost for he lost first round. And he made his way all the way back to grand finals, dude, on the pad, dude. On the pad, dog.
Really impressed with that. Like that was the first time I seen him, but I was like, man, that's a really strong player to come back from the loser side. So from the top 8, I heard of Noun, C Vital, Jumpsuit, and Raging Storm X. Raging Storm X from HDR, Jumpsuit I met from HDR, C Vital from HDR, and Noun I met from it was from Evil. We met at like 09, I think, with everybody. But
okay.
Yeah.
So out of all these matches, what like the ones that kind of grabbed my attention? I mean, the Fudd versus E-Vital, I was super pumped for that. What do you think? Do you think that DJ match versus, I think Vital, C-Vital went Sim in that one? Do you think Sim beats DJ in that match? Or
yeah, I know he does. Sim's just his crouch low punch alone really gives DJ a hard time. I think that's why Fudd originally went with. He also played Sim. Man, you know what? Mirror matches are kind of really trash, but I think it was a better chance for Fudd if you would have went Sim. DJ versus Sim, I think, is a bad match. It's Sim beats that just because he has moves to get around the fireball, and if DJ doesn't have fireball pressure, he loses a lot of advantage for that.
And it's crazy because, dude, DJ has such great normals. But yeah, dude, that's like the one matchup that, dude, Sim just makes any character look like I can't get in on this, man, dude. Like, it's like he creates that wall and he has an answer for every single thing that he does. And you kind of saw it for those who saw that matchup. It's like, you know, Fudd was keeping his distance, you know, throwing throwing the max outs and stuff. And he was like, it just wasn't like he was just like, oh, fuck this, I'm just going to rush in. No, he was, you know, Fudd, like, you know, he's very technical. He knows his normals. And C. Vital did a very good job of just spacing him out, dude.
The thing about that is Sim just needs two normals that really mess up the whole matchup. Is his crouch medium punch that he can hit the max out from a certain distance for free. And then if you're closer, then he can just slide under and trip you. So, like, Sim just, those two normals alone really tips the favor on his side. I think, in my opinion.
Oh, no, that's totally, it makes sense, man. And like I said, dude, any matches that go up against Sim, it's already very hard. So the following match we had, who do we have? We had Jumpsu versus Chris Datt, right? Yeah, so I've heard Chris Datt before. Was Chris Datt at the Spring Series? I think he's one of them players, isn't he?
Maybe not, but I know that the characters that he used, I think it was Old God and... I think it was also Claw. He's a player that knows what it takes to win. So what I was saying earlier, I got cut off. It might have sounded like I was like being a dick. I haven't heard of these other players. But what I noticed from this tournament that I was impressed was this tournament felt like an old school tournament. What I mean by that, it was like some of the hardcore elitist ST guys might be like, oh, there's no character loyalist in this. There's nobody that's a specialist, whatever. But like, to me, this is what Street Fighter was back in the days. The winners didn't play one character and just went to the end with them. They made adjustments and they switched characters to, you know, show their versatility, that they had a roster of guys, right?
Yeah, so no, for sure.
What I noticed was people switch characters, and I appreciate that. Like, these guys had more, they weren't like a one-trick pony, you know what I mean? So when I watched this tournament, I said, wow, this is like an old school tournament. People were doing what they had to do, or, you know, they could counter a specific character if they had to. So that's why I appreciated this tournament. Like Chris Datt, Juice's Turtle Power, you know, they had different characters that they switched to. So it made the tournament like more fun, in my opinion, to watch. It wasn't just one guy stuck in a bad matchup trying to climb a two matchup match. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, for sure, dude. And that's the thing that I kind of want to do. You said it the best, dude. I feel like where we're at, it's like everybody goes like, oh, Super Turbo, like the Japanese, you know, they're very loyalist. I get it. But guess what? We're not Japanese, dog, right? We're this is the U.S., dude. We fucking play to win, dude. We're going back to the scumbag level where, dude, we have to. If you have to bust out the O Saget, if you have to bust out a Pocket Claw, we're gonna fucking do it. You know, not saying, dude, I've been thinking about it. You know, like I said, dude, people on here, they've heard me. I've complained about Claw. Yes, I hate Claw. I hate Oryu, but dude, I'm thinking about even having a Pocket Claw now, even maybe a Ryu, because you saw, like, I'm not saying Jumpsuit Jesse is a scrub, dude. To me, Jumpsuit Jesse. Jumpsuit Jesse was more as a Fae player, right? Like every time I was seeing back in the day, he was very, very good Fae Long player, right? Or am I just making that up?
Man, okay. So when I first started playing seriously, I guess, in HDR, I was getting like, you know, I felt like I was getting pretty good and I was confident, like I was like a top player. And then one day it was like pretty late at night. I had matched up with Jumpsuit Jesse in the lobby. And then we played and he demolished me, and we played a pretty long set, you know, it was just me and him going back and forth. And every time I threw a bad fireball, he jumped in and I died. That was it. It was a touch of death. Or every time he got in close and pressured, I would throw an uppercut to try to get him off me and I died. He would like land on the fierce record and just end it, you know? And then after the thing was over, like that was the first time in Street Fighter that I felt like starstruck. But I didn't know who he was. But I was like, dude, this is the best player in the world. You know? And I said, dude, you're the best Street Fighter player I've ever encountered. Like, I've never been in the situation where I just make one mistake and die. Literally. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was because he played Faye. And Faye, of course, he capitalizes on mistakes with big combos and everything. Like, I felt like I literally messaged him. I was like, dude, you're the best player in the world. Like, to me, right? Like, I, of course, right now, like, I think I could take him now. I think that it's more even now I know how to play that matchup now. But then what it was back then, I didn't know the Fei match. To me, Fei Long in Street Fighter was like a garnish to Street Fighter. You know, it was just like you sprinkle, you know, when you order food, they put that green shit or fucking like some flowers on the side to make it look.
he was a garnish or what?
To me, you know, he wasn't a real character, you know. And then, up until like when I met him, that was like, oh shit. Like, and then I started to like encounter more characters. When you play online, you get the advantage of like, you know, learning matchups. And I was like, oh shit. Kind of like every character is viable. No, not kind of, but yes, there's matchups that make you feel like certain characters are trash, but other matchups where it's not, like even Cammy, like I think Cammy is the lowest character. Even Cammy, if she gets a jump on you, that's it, it's over too. Also, Cammy is like Fei also, they get a like a good clean jump on you, the match is ended, you know?
Yeah, no, that's for sure, man. And like I said, I'm glad to have Jumpsuit Jesse on this tournament because yeah, we might be talking about Jumpsuit a lot, but people don't understand that he's one of the old school players. Like, no joke, as old school as Alex Valle, you know, Jumpsuit Jesse has been around since the 90s. This man, you know, he's been around. I mean, he is from the Texas area, I believe, and he's been around forever. And like, even how you're saying, man, this is a name that the first time that you meet up with him, you go like, okay, cool. And then he makes you remember his name, and then every time you meet up with them, he still puts that fear, you know, like that. Yeah, and that's badass, man. And look at it, man. The man's been playing, I want to say maybe more than 20 years this game, because
that's for sure.
Yeah, dude, and he's a monster, dude. So props to him, man. So kind of moving along, you know, the losers. Like I said, we had Turtle Power, Juices, Raging Storm X, Enforcer. Kind of skipping to that, the one of the matches that I was looking forward to was when it was going to be C-Vital versus Jumpsuit. That match made me as a Chum player. I've had the experience. I've had the privilege of playing C-Vital in the past. I've actually met up with him at Evo, and he beat me at Evo. Beat me at Evo 2-1, and that was during the HD Remix days, you know. But he doesn't just have a sim, you know, he's a really good Chun-Li as well, you know. So seeing that match going to C-Vital versus Jumpsuit, I think in my opinion, I kind of would have liked to see maybe Jumpsuit gone with Fei in this one, because I think C-Vital still wins sim, but
you read my mind. That's exactly what I thought when I saw Jumpsuit started with Ryu. I was like, man, versus Chun. It was Chun, right? C-Vital started with Chun?
No, C-Vital actually started with Sim. And I mean, yes, Ryu, it's the match. But dude, like you said, dude, Fei Long and Cammy, they're those low-tier characters that, okay, you know, people don't have too much experience against them. And you know, Jumpsuit's a freaking Fei Long specialist, you know? So what better way to be like,
no, yeah, I definitely I felt like the same way you felt. Like I wish you would have just stuck with Fei, but that was, you know, from hindsight, I guess 2020. But you know, maybe Jumpsuit felt some type of way where maybe he would mix up the match because it was best out of five. That, yeah, yeah. You know, he would put some kind of versatility or make C-Vital think twice about, you know, sticking to one character. But
and that was the thing that C-Vital beat him. C-Vital beat his Ryu, and then Jumpsuit switched. So then it was Fei Sim, and then Jumpsuit beat him. So it was 1-1, and that's when, of course, C-Vital switched to Chun. And I feel like in that match, dude, that's an even match. I mean, Fei Long can give Chun-Li some problems, especially if Fei gets Chun in the corner with that damn chicken wing. That pressure is hardcore, man.
Sure, that's a match for Fei. Because Fei's chicken wing beats a lot of things. Fei can just open with chicken wing and it's safe, and he can just keep chicken wing, keep chicken wing. If you look at like how the Japanese play it, but I noticed that Jumpsuit didn't do a lot of chicken wing. He stuck to more safe things because chicken wing is a really hard move to do also. Yeah. But if you keep that consistent, it's not an even match. It is a match that Fei wins for sure.
And that's the thing, you know, watching the video, I felt like Jumpsuit applied the pressure immediately. So he got C-Vital in the corner, got him there, and he did a great job. He went for like, I think, tick light kick to maybe pretend he was gonna tick throw, and then he would do flame kick. So he hit him once with that. He baited him. I feel like he should have gone. Then he did it again, but I instead of doing the flame kick a double time, he should have chicken wing because then I think C Vital then did C Vital went into the wall jump every time with Chun Li, and that's how C Vital was getting out of the corner, you know. And like you said, man, that's Fei Long. You got to apply the pressure. So I mean, that was a good match. It went 3-1, unfortunately, but I also think since they're both from Texas, I think they know each other how they play, because it's not like C Vital's a new player. He's been around the scene. So I feel like they know each other, you know? So it's like me and you meeting up and, you know, here we go, you know, we're in top eight and it's like, I know the way you play. So it's like, there's nothing really new that we can bring. It's all about like the who's on point that day, you know? So
I always knew that C Vital was good because I used to play him a lot on HDR too. But I remember before that he won another major where he beat Valle to win it. And then I was talking to Shoto's all day about Texas Showdown, and he's like, you know what, C Vital OCV'd the team of Afro, Valle, and John Choi, all cool. The legends himself. He did it. So that was, I think that was the ST Games. So that was like, oh man, yeah, this guy is like, that's why I Sean, there's another player on Facebook. He was like, man, like that was a tough loss, and like, I feel like I'm gonna retire or whatever. He's a claw player, right?
Yeah.
And then breaking his balls, I was like, man, you don't just say some guy C Vital, man. This is the king of Texas, you know. Like he did this, and this, all his accolades and everything. But I was just busting his balls or whatever, you know. But it's like, I wanted to bring that up because the reason when he said all that, it was like, that was a positive thing for the scene too, because that was a sign that people wanted to be good. When he said that he had took a tough loss and he was whatever, I was like, oh man, that's cool, because this guy, it was a tough loss, but he feels it and he wants to get better. So like I like seeing that, you know what I mean? But yeah, C Vital, he's won a lot of big tournaments in Texas. So like he's the guy to beat in that region.
Dude, and that's awesome. I really hope that C Vital either A, man, if hopefully you get a hold of this podcast, and like I said, man, it's been a long time since I've seen you, and nothing but love and props to you, man. Like, you know, me being a Chun player and seeing the way that you play Chun, I you know, he's like the first Chun, not the first Chun, but he reminds me of like Oto Chun as well, because Oto Chun, what it's C Vital does very well is like when people jump in at him, he doesn't just take the jump in and block. He's very good at doing an anti-air while he's standing, you know, being walk under and standing jab. He does like a standing jab, or he'll do the far roundhouse kick, you know, knowing that people are going to try and jump. And dude, I give him props. And as you can see, man, this is why this man, let's see, in top eight, he literally lost, I think none. He lost one game in top eight. One game. The man went 9-1 in top eight.
I'm going to go back to what I said the last time that we were talking. If you're a character specialist and you only play one character and you're dead set on it on every match, you're not going to win majors. I was talking about like how, like the old school guys, how they won. They had, you know, the pocket Osagat or and a Ryu or whatever character that they played. D Vital had caught on to that earlier. You know, he had a Sim and a Chun and he played both at a high level. And those characters cover each other pretty well. And it paid off because he has majors under his belt.
Yeah. So no, for sure, man. And like I said, hopefully C Vital, I hope you make it out a little bit more. I know, I understand you're a family man as well. And it's awesome, man. Like, hopefully I get to see you and talk to you this year. If not, man, props to you, man. So, kind of moving on from Texas Showdown, like I said, props again to the whole production. It was awesome. Props to,
James.
What was that?
Yeah, I like the commentary. Yeah, like you're gonna shout out James Chen and
hell
the
other
guy, Team Cry, I think, whatever his name was.
No, yeah. His I believe what's his name? I have it. Right here. It's his name's Chris. Team Chris is what he calls himself.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Team Chris. So props to him, man. Like I said, I like the commentary and props to Texas Showdown. Thank you again for giving love to Super T and actually making the finals on Sunday and giving it stream time on stage, you know, props for that.
Right. And then, yeah, their commentary was like on point too. They kept it rolling and there wasn't any big pauses. I know sometimes Super Turbo, you want to put like a specialist and like really analyze or whatever, but they pause and try to think, and then there was a lot of dead air, you know. But
exactly,
Chris and James Chen, they did a really good job. There's some times where Chris, like his, like he was wasn't sure what he was saying, or he was saying like something that wasn't right, but James Chen did a good job of holding a tongue, because I saw James too. He was like, I want to correct him, but mess up the stream if like he goes into a tangent, you know what I mean? So like, you know, James would let him talk, and like the stream kept going. But you know what the good thing about that is, even though it was wrong, if you're a hardcore fan, you'd be like, oh no, that's wrong, it got you into it. And if you're not a hardcore fan, the commentary kept going, and you felt entertained, you know what I mean? So either way, it was a good thing. I feel like you got to have people like that's professional in the commentary, that just keep things rolling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, man. So moving from this tournament, you know, like I believe we have Combo Breaker coming up as well. I believe Combo Breaker is May 24th through the 26th. So yeah, dude, that's next weekend. And I don't know if it's been said, but I think Chris Delp, you know, from the Spring Series, I talked to him the other day, and I'm just kind of reminding everybody, guys, if you're going to go to another Super Tournament, Super Turbo Tournament, go to Combo Breaker, because Spring Series is, they're going to be pitching in $500 for the pot bonus to Combo Breaker for the Super Turbo Tournament. And that's plus whatever the winnings, and that's awesome, man. So Free Play Arcade is, I mean, it's not just Chris Delp, but Free Play Arcade is sending players $500 pot bonus extra. So it's going to be in Illinois, Combo Breaker. And I always heard that this tournament's another badass. It's 3 days. It's literally a 24-hour venue. So after you're out of the tournament, or not out of the tournament, but if you're waiting, you can still be playing casuals, and the venue never closes. And you know, dude, 24 hours, anything can happen.
That's crazy, dude. Free Play, Chris Delp, they're doing big things for Super Turbo. Shout outs to them for like really stepping up and just keeping it rolling, but like not just limping along, but in style, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, everybody that's kind of listening to this, Combo Breaker, it's going to be May 24th through the 26th. And, at the Mega Center in Illinois, there's honestly, they do so many different things there. It's like, there's exhibition, there's cosplay contests, there's an artist alley, a lot of talented artists that go, they have auction events, they have vendors, they have a full blown arcade, they have a 24-hour venue. And it's just, dude, and there's more than 23 plus games that they do tournaments. So if you think, hey, I play freaking King of Fighters 94, better believe that there's probably going to be a King of Fighters 94 tournament at Combo Breaker. So if you think you're the best at tons of games, this is the tournament that you guys want to hit up.
Right.
Yeah. So, the next one that I want to talk to about, that I want everybody, you know, to kind of find out, it's this, you know, this tournament kind of is awesome because it holds kind of a little bit, a big place in my heart, just because being a 100% Mexicano, you know, that Mexican, and having Mr. DJ Frijoles and Yito and H-Zero, you know, Yurikoa. I've met all these guys on Fight Kid, and unfortunately I haven't met them in real life, but dude, they're such awesome and funny guys, man, that even with Hokuru, you know, all these guys are from, what they don't understand, that they're from Mexico, and the Mexico scene is freaking amazing. And I feel like a damn, you know, whitewashed Mexican now, because I haven't made my way to Mexico to actually like go and travel and to check out the tournament, you know?
All the time that I've been playing on GGPO and then Fightcade afterwards, like out of everybody, the Mexican players are my favorite, dude. Like they just get it, you know, like my humor or whatever, and they play along with and just, you know what I mean? Like they just make me feel like at home, like these are the homies and stuff. You know what I mean? Like all of them, dude, I love them. And then they're all of them are high level. So they give you like that best competition, you know, and they're just hilarious, dude. Like
they're so hilarious, man. And they make you feel at home, and they just, just they bring the hype with everything they do. And
shout out to Frijoles, that's my brother from another mother. Like we talk a lot on there, not just Street Fighter, and it just turns out like that, like our lives are so similar, you know. Just like he's like the Mexican version of me, or like I'm the Chinese version of him, you know what I mean? But like we've been through all the same fucking things. And then even after I stopped playing Street Fighter and like I started like getting into barbecue, it's like that's what my man was doing. And when I got connected again, like, bro, what the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, and then like everything that we do, like, you know, it's always somehow intertwined, you know. So like shout outs to Frijoles, dude, that's my Mexican brother right there.
No, for sure, man. And kind of going into that, you know, there's going to be, he's actually going to be throwing a tournament coming up in, it's going to be May 31st through June 2nd. And that's going to be in Zihuatanejo, Mexico. So I've actually had the opportunity to visit that. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. I've been there. I think I was about 12 years old last time I visited that, but we have a great, great Mexican gathering, you know, and I think what the main tournament it's going to be called, they're calling it the Super Lucha Callejera, which in translation, it's pretty much like the super street, like wrestling event, you know, of the century, you know. So we're going to be having these great players like Ultra Combo. We have DJ Frijoles, Robiers. Have you heard of Robiers before?
I heard of all of them. They're all stacked. Trust me. They're all stacked.
Yeah, dude. So we have Robiers. We have Supango. We have AR Immortan Erectus, Bokurs, Sexio or Sex Diez. That's an awesome name, dude. Sex Diez. We have Yito. We have Yito. We have H-Zero, Jarek 04. We have Demonio. We have Yurikoa, Mike Fighter Bison. Mike Fighter Bison's another great player. We have Demos DM. And then Samatenor. I've heard of him, but these are some of the players that are going to be there. And I know they're going to be having some grudge matches, like straight up Lucha Libre style.
You know what? Like there's not a lot of Mexican players, but I don't know how they do it somehow. And I heard they're all spread out too. So they're not like all in the same city, but they're all fucking good, dude.
Dude, a true story. Honestly, true story, the way that I got into fighting games, it wasn't just me here, man. I used to go to Mexico every single Christmas, like, vacation, and the arcade scene in Mexico was, like, awesome, man. And going into any little town, I'm from Jalisco, and walking down, like, the little towns where my grandma used to live, she used to give me, like 20 pesos, and it's like, hey, go pick us some tortillas and whatever the change is. You can go to the maquinitas, which is like the arcades, you know. And I'll be like, okay, cool, dude. No joke, King of Fighters. You know, it was always King of Fighters. We love Mexicanos. We love King of Fighters, dude. We call Terry Bogard. He's our Mexican hero, man. Because every Mexican, dude. If you see a King of Fighters and you see a Mexican guy playing, dude, you know he's playing Terry Bogard, dude. And that's the thing, you know. And that's why the scene is so big. And until a couple years ago, I never knew how big the Super T scene was. So I'm super stoked that Frijoles, you know, has been doing these events. And I just want to kind of, you know, shout out his tournament and give it a little bit of hype. So maybe some players can travel, you know. If you have your passport, Zihuatanejo is not that far, you know. I'm the ticket.
Yeah. Can recollect. It is open to anybody who wants to come. So the information is on Facebook. What is it? No Honor Crew, Super Turbo, SoCal Super Turbo. It's on a lot of the groups. So
I'll post a little thing after I post this episode, and I'll post a link under the Mongolo Robotalks Facebook page, so you guys can kind of check out the. I know DJ Frijoles. His name is René Jaramillo on Facebook. I know he's been posting the posters, and please support him, guys. Like this is another man that just, he loves the game, man. He's such a great guy. Hopefully we can have him on here, because dude, honestly, you said it the best, dude. He's literally the Mexican version of you.
The previous tournament, I don't think he was hosting it, someone else was. I think it was you, but he actually quit his job to make it out to the tournament. That's commitment right there, dude. Like, damn, you got
that's fucking dedication.
Yep.
So kind of some of the matches that they're making it, like, I can't wait to show you guys the the poster, because the poster is awesome. So first of all, they used the HD Remix artwork, and it's one of the best artworks, man. It's awesome. So he's calling it the Eye of the Tiger Mexican Gathering, you know. So the main event, he's going to have Yito versus Ultra Combo. You know, I think Ultra Combo went to the tournament last year, right?
Dude, that's a tough one for Ultra. Like, shout outs to him. He's got balls to fly over to Yito's hood and then play a bad matchup. So I'm excited to see how that goes, because Yito, in my opinion, is the best sim in North America. And yeah, there's no challenging that, dude. Like, you can ask anybody that's played him along set. His sim is legit. I place it on the Japanese level. Like, you can throw him in Japan, I think he'll do fine.
Dude, that's the baddest thing about this match, yes, it's a bad matchup, but Yito is such a rushdown Dalsim that it gives Ultra Combo a little bit, not of an edge, but it gives him hope, you know, because that rushdown, dude, like, and that's the thing, Yito is such a madman that he doesn't give a fuck, dude. He's still going to rush Osaga down if Ultra uses Osaga. He's going to rush him down. He's going to, because all it takes is one uppercut, brings him down, and then he can kind of zone him out, you know, so. You know, they're calling that matchup the Inferno match, which is going to be kind of cool, you know?
Go ahead.
So after that, you know, they're going to have, let's see, the next one, they're going to supposedly have a cage match. So that's DJ Frijoles, your boy, versus Age Zero, dude. What do you think of that match? Like, what do you think of the T-Hawk Osaga match?
That's a match that goes in Osaga's favor. But also, Frijoles has played Hawk at a high level for so long that I think it's kind of even, because if Frijoles, you give him the chance, if you get sloppy, he's going to just run away with it. So I it's supposed to be in Osaga's favor, but I got money on my boy Frijoles, man, all day.
Okay, yeah, So at the end of all these, at the end when we announce all the matches, I want us to make our predictions, and I want us to have like a little side bet going. All right, me and you. Okay.
All right.
So that's the cage match. Then we have the Bull Terrier match, which we have Jarek versus Demonio. Demonio de Bian. So Demonio, I'm not too familiar with him. I know I've seen Jarek play before. He's a Ken player. Demonio, I guess, plays Chun. Me as a Chun player, I believe. I don't know if Jarek plays old Ken or new Ken, but as a Chun player, I'd rather play a new Ken than an old Ken. Old Ken, I feel like, can zone Chun out a little bit better, and his damage is just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, and the uppercut is so strong, too. I got Jarek, how you say it? I got this match. I think Chun's a good player, but you have to be really high... how you say it, practice. And Rick, I've seen him play. He's been around for a while, and I think he's gonna run away with this one.
Awesome. So this, and then we have this is the one that I didn't ask Frijoles about, but I'm super pumped up for this, because so it's a Fatal 4-way match, you know. So in wrestling, I'm a big wrestling fan. Fatal 4 is fuck it, you know, four people in the ring, anything goes. Fatal 4, whoever pins, like if it's me, you, fucking Frijoles and Ultra Combo in the ring, you know, if I pin you, it doesn't matter if they're out fucking, you know, whatever. If I pin you, I win. I think that's how the Fatal 4 wins. So I'm really interested of how this match is going to work. So we have, the Fatal 4, we have,
Blanca versus Gao versus Ryu versus Bison. How's that work out?
Dude, I don't know, man. But, you know, the Blanca player is AR... Delmonicos, which is an awesome name. Then you have Yurikawa, I should say, is the Gao player. Then you have Zumpango, who is the Ryu player. Then you have Mike Fighter Bison as the Bison player. So I'm pumped to see this one. So maybe they're doing it like Pokemon style, where one A versus B, or maybe they're doing like a winner stays on, or maybe they're doing it like a round robin, you know, everybody plays everybody.
Probably round robin sounds right. These guys are I think they all came along after I stopped playing, so I'm just gonna have to go with character wise I think Ryu is gonna win this. I don't know personally any of them. Mike Fighter Bison kind of sounds familiar, but I think these guys came after I stopped.
Right on. So, well, I'll go with my pick. So, kind of starting from the beginning, you know, the Inferno match, Yito versus Ultra, dude. Man, I'm gonna go with Ultra, man. I'm betting on Black. I'm betting Ultra combo. Osaget, please, Ultra, if you're listening to this, go Osaget. I know you love. I know new Saget is, he's good. I get it. Fucking a fuck it, dog. Show him that we're from. Show him that. Show him where you're from, dude. Play to win. Let's go Osaget.
I'm looking at the poster right now, and it looks like H0 versus Ultra combo, and Frijoles versus Yito.
Oh, really? Because on mine that I have, it says Yito versus Ultra still. And then it says Frijoles versus H0.
I think they might have switched it. I don't know. I'm looking at the latest one that Beans posted on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you have, so then who do you have then? You have H0 versus Ultra? Is that what you said?
Okay. I think you're looking at the first page. Flip to the second page.
Hold up. Because I had this one on my. On my show notes, let's see. So you said Frijoles has it on this page.
So yeah, it's on Frijoles posted on Noah Honor Crew. So just go there.
Okay.
And then what I see on my end is H0 versus Ultra combo, Saget versus Saget.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, dude, that changes things. Okay. So H0 versus Ultra combo. Hey, fuck it. I'm still going Ultra combo. Who are you going in that one then?
Ultra combo, best Saget and NA. Like,
okay. Fire. All right. So me and you, we have that one. So that's where we're even on now. Okay. Frijoles versus Yito. Who do you have?
Fuck. This is even. But I'm going to have to go with Frijoles, man. That's my boy.
Dude, I'm going with Yito, man. Yito has beat the shit out of me so many times on Fight Kid. And I love his rushdown sim. So I'm going to go with Yito, man.
I hesitated because he beat me too. So I'm like, dude, but I think Fiola is better than me. So I'm sticking with Beans.
Okay. So what about the Bull Terrier match? We have Jarek versus Demonio. So Ken versus Chun.
I'm going with Oken.
Oken, dude. I'm going with my girl Chun, dude. I can't, like, I'm loyal to my bae.
Good luck.
All right, and then in the Fatal Four, who do you think out of those four is gonna come out alive?
Ryu, I'm gonna go with what is his name?
AR Zumbango. Okay, so with that, I'm gonna go actually with the Mike Fighter Bison, dude.
Okay,
I'm going with that. So, all right, man. So this is what we're gonna do. This is the way we're gonna pay. We're going to pay our bets is next time that we're on our podcast, we're going to take either a shot of something or next time we hang out together, we'll stream it and we'll pay our debt. How about that?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So let's following that, you know, like I said, hopefully everybody, if you haven't, first of all, Mexico, it's a beautiful city. Don't believe the hype that, you know, oh, fucking cartel, I'm going to get the... Look, if you're not part of that shit, it's not going to happen to you, you know? Like, yes, I understand. It's dangerous, blah, blah, but going to Mexico is still a beautiful place. You know, if you go, it's safe. I hate that everybody goes with, like, oh, I'm going to get murdered. I don't want to go. It's dirty. It's not dirty. It's a beautiful place.
And, don't run into the place asking everybody where the drugs are at. That's going to get you in trouble, dude. Just go there, play some Street Fighter, have some drinks, and you're going to have a good time.
Exactly. So please, you know, check out the Mexican Gathering, the Super Lucha Callejera, Eye of the Tiger Mexican Gathering. And that's going to be in Zihuatanejo, Mexico, from May 31st to June 2nd. So hopefully, you know, everybody can... make it out there. So, all right, Mike, I know you've been waiting for this topic, dog, and I know I've been waiting for this, dude.
This is the new scene. This is where all the fire is at. If you want to follow something that's up and coming and hot right now,
dude. Yeah. Okay, so before we start, you know, I just want to say I love this competitiveness. I think this is what brings me back, you know, like, yeah, you know, oh, well, you know, talking shit, blah, blah. No. It's like, first of all, it's like, I heard, it's like, you know, just because we call someone out doesn't mean, oh, we don't like you. No. It's it's a competitiveness, you know. There's one thing of being an asshole in person, and another thing of being just competitive and calling. And it's like you know, everybody sees it. UFC. What happens in UFC, Mike? You know, it's like me and you, Caesar versus Mike. You know, you have the build up, you have the videos. You know, like we trash talk, blah blah. The weigh ins. It's like, oh, fuck you, Mike. You know, blah blah. All this stuff, and then we fight, and then what happens at the end of the fight? Nothing but respect, right?
Yeah, it just comes down to people telling other people, I'm better than you. And then other people saying, like, no, I'm better than you. And then, you know, and then they settle it in the game. That's what it is. Don't think that it's negative or, like, it's going to lead to violence. Everybody in the scene is, like, grown-ass men. It's not going to lead to no violence. Whatever they're talking about, they're trying to settle in the game that they want to be good at or they've been playing for so long. You know what I mean? That's the way I see it. Right?
No, yeah, and that's what makes sense, you know, and that's why the next subject that we want to talk about is, like, dude, this emergence of Street Fighter 2 hyper fighting, dude. It's coming back, dude.
Bro, trust me. Okay, so I've only went a few times. One of my childhood friends, one of my best friends, Ken, he's immersed in this scene.
Yeah, OG Ken.
Right. So the few times that I went, what I noticed was that the scene doesn't have a lot of people. It's up and coming. Everybody's just learning the game. I mean, they've all played the game as in their childhood, but right now they're learning it at that competitive level. And the thing that I noticed about it, it's the scene is small, but it's big. And what I mean by that is there is not a lot of players, these core group of guys, but every single one of those core guys, they have a drive that there's those core group of guys. I think they're more competitive than you add all the competitive ST guys. What I mean by that is, like, there's a lot of people that join ST tournaments, but there's some people that just join, you know, and a lot of guys in ST ST is kind of in this kumbaya, I love you, everybody loves everybody's stage. We're like, there's really no drive to beat another person. Yeah, you know? Everybody, oh yeah, it was fun, you know. I went 0-2, but you know, I enjoyed being there and seeing my friend. And this hyper scene, dude, when I went, I joined the last tournament, and these guys, man, like, they're out there, they're hungry, man. Like, I go
dude,
out there,
dude, and it's fucking grimy, dog. Like, please tell everybody the experience. So first of all, everybody, you know, my Dangerous Paper Kite, he's not just a super turbo guy. No. This, you know, Mike gets down to hyper fighting. You know, in one of the places that I love going, that for you people that don't live here in the West Coast, and especially in the LA area, there's a place called Club 82. It's in downtown LA. It's a barcade, and it has, you know, tons of old school arcades, pinball, you know, old Nintendo games, off-road, you know, all those types, but a full bar, dancing, DJs, but they also have a hyper fighting machine that it gets freaking popping, and they stream the matches on this freaking, you know, old school projector, you know, kind of like like old school, and like when you were in class, where you pull down, you know, the screen, and they have it on there, and that's the place where literally it brings you back to when the arcade scene was, because A, there's so many quarters on the arcade. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of drinks, hey, after, you know, 11, 12 PM, you know, that place gets a little bit hostile, right?
Man. So dude, this is a bar, Caesar. So like there's drinks and everything. Most of the core guys that go there don't even drink. They go there, it's no nonsense. It's serious. Like they stand around, like, you know, they'll say hi if you've seen them around before, but like they're not talking to anybody. They got their hands crossed and they're looking at the game and they're like, all right, what's this guy doing? All right, I'm gonna come in here and I'm gonna beat him like this. Like they're not fucking around, Caesar. This is wild, bro. And that's why I'm so like drawn to it right now. These guys, all of them, they're fucking killers, dude. Like I see these guys. They don't like me because I'm like, when I come in, I'm like fucking, you know, I'm like, ooh, you know, I'm cheering and fucking high-fiving everyone and just trying to be like friendly. They're like, nah, man, like you're disrespecting our scene. You know what I mean? Like this is our sanctum or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they're out there to play their best. You know, like a lot of the guys don't even drink. They just stand there and they don't talk to anybody and they just like they want to fucking beat you. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I get it, man. And that's the thing. And I want, you know, you even telling me like kind of the stories that's happened. I mean, I've been there. I've been one of those people that, dude, I get pumped because seeing like when I went with yourself, with Cinco, with Marcus, you know, that's our posse. And then we go in there, you know, we're playing. And then, you know, say someone beats you or they beat me, you know, to go like, oh, what the fuck? And then you hear this other guy going like, ha, they start laughing. You go like, yeah, man, you got it. And you hear like their homie start cheering them on. And it's like, it kind of pumps you up. You go, hey, I'm next. I got you, dog. I'm next. You know, I got you. And that's the thing. It's not like, oh, hey, good game. No, it goes like, you, it sucks. It sucks because now it's like, damn, I just waited 20 minutes to get on the arcade machine and I just freaking got humiliated in front of everybody. It makes you want to come back, you know?
Dude, like, so at that tournament, the last one that I went to, when they were playing, like almost every match was a nail biter and everything was like, there were some players that like I counted this, like just, you know, fucking brushed them off like they weren't good, and they came back and they were actually clutch in a tournament environment and everything, you know what I mean? And when they won, like I went to shake their hands and they're like, yeah, just like a formality, shook, but they're like, nah, who the fuck are you? Like, I'm not talking to you, I want to beat you, you know what I mean? It was really like refreshing to see a scene like that. Like, all of these guys really want to, like, everybody is on equal playing field, you know? There's nobody that's really like miles ahead of everybody else, you know what I mean? There's a few guys that are ahead a little bit, but everybody is pretty even and they're all progressing at the same speed, you know what I mean?
And can you tell us, I know you recently, I think it was what, like a couple weeks ago, you went to a tournament at 82 for Hyper Fighting. It was a team tournament, right?
Yeah, so the main event was a team tournament, and then if you didn't have a team, because it was invite only, so they invited, they already invited their players, they created their teams, and then they allowed a play-in tournament where there was singles where you could play to get a spot to get into the tournament. So I won a spot in that tournament, and then I played James, our friend, Red Venom. He also won, and then one of, like, in my opinion, one of the top players at 82, his name is Farouj. Dude, that guy's insane. That guy, he won a spot too. In my opinion, like, he would be like, you know, remember Shoto's All Day when he came out?
So, oh, hell yeah.
Farouj is kind of like that. He plays every single character and he plays them good. Like, actually in the tournament, I was talking about on Facebook too, he landed this fucking combo that was so fucking sick, dude. It was like, I think it was like a cross up, crouch short, jump roundhouse into spin kick, and that fucking, cool. Like, and he fucking did another combo and finished me, and like I was up already, and there was a 2-3 combo. I think it was up 2-0 that round when he beat me. Like, he fucked me up so bad, like I was about to get up and shake his hand like, good game, like, you know, you beat me. Like, I'm waiting for the video. They said they recorded it and whatever, but like, it hasn't come out yet, and I'm just like, man, dude, the world needs to see that, dude. That type of execution, and it was in a tournament when something counted too. So that told me, like, dude, this guy is legit.
And that's the thing, you know, like, kind of seeing that type of competition in there, you know, it kind of pumped me up because I remember you, like, having you guys texting in the group chat, and I was like, yo, you know, that, like, this tournament, it was kind of made me bummed out that I couldn't make it out there, especially since I live little bit far away. But dude, those so after you guys qualified, you made it into the team tournament, right? And then the trophies and the plaques were freaking badass, dude.
They were legit. Yeah, like, I won a plaque. I was like, man, dude, out of all of the, from like 2009 to 2014 that I played, I never won anything that was like legit like that. I they gave me a plaque. I was like, dude, I can hang this up and people could see it, you know what I mean? And in the team tournament, it was like a little small statue that was even more legit. I was like, dude,
the statue is freaking legit. I'll make sure to post up the picture also on the page, but it was like Blanca ripping his shirt, like, dude, it was freaking badass. And look, and this is the stuff that, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, everybody goes like, it's a trophy, dude. You know, we know we want to win that prize. You know, like, you can say, that's stupid, but if you won that, do you be fucking showing that shit off?
Dude, you know what? Like, these players, like I said earlier, everyone's pretty even. We have like a seating or they have a seating. I'm like an outsider, but like they know who to expect to be good or, you know, at a certain high level or whatever. But when the tournament started, guys stepped up. You know, there was this Blanca player that I discounted. I was like, man, this guy, he's got some tricks, but I don't think he doesn't have any combos and he's like whatever. But during the tournament, it turned out this guy had fuck. His name is Huey, Blanca player. He had fuck ice in his veins. You can see, like, if you know, we went to a lot of tournaments. There's some players that are good, but in a tournament environment, they freeze their nerves. You know, they lock up and they can't handle the pressure. This guy was on his back multiple times, multiple matches where he was down and he came back to win. Ice in his veins, and I have like so much respect for him. I went to shake his hand like fucking 4 or 5 times that fucking night. I was like, dude, I'm blown away by his composure. You know, that's mental fortitude, and that's, you know, that's very rare in a tournament. There's a lot of good players, but there's not a lot of players that have that like mental fortitude to like, you know, come like, even though I'm behind, it's not over. I'm gonna come back. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, like I'm gonna come back and win. And he was like, fucking, just took it out of the fucking house. Like, they got far. I think they got second. Yeah, I think they got second. The other team that got first was like a team that like everybody on the team had a beard or whatever. Those guys played out of their mind.
Wait, what characters did the first place team use?
That team was pretty like high tier. I think they had a Blanca. In my opinion, Blanca's the best character in the game.
He's crazy in that game, man.
And then they had a Rog player, the Balrog. Balrog is not bad in that game too. He's really good. His rushdown is the same thing. And then there was a Ken player. That Ken player, I've never seen him before, but he was fucking bananas, dude. Like, he had a lot of clutch matches too. Yeah.
Dude, so that's awesome. You know, kind of seeing that, like, dude, I can't wait till the videos come out. So hopefully everybody, like, we're not just fucking making this shit up. You know, Hyper Fighting is back. And this is why I want, why I made, you know, Mr. Papercut my official co-host, because this man is, you know, he can play any Street Fighter, any of the old school Street Fighter 2 games, and seeing him play in these tournaments, he can still keep up. And going forward, he says, you know, everybody knows, well, you know, OG Ken's one of your, you know, good friends. Was OG Ken at the tournament as well? Did he not make it?
He was at the tournament, but like I said, it was invites, and they arranged the teams. Like, it was him and like two guys that really didn't play the game. So he had to, in order for his team to win, basically he had to OCV everybody.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, Chris's team, Chris and his partner, in my opinion, is one of the best Blanca player there. And I forgot the other guy, but the Blanca player, fuck, he OCV'd a lot of teams, man. He's like a top dog over there too. I think his name is Angel.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen that guy there before. So kind of going into this whole hype that's coming up, dude. So your buddy Ken, dude, there's been some hype going up, dude. I know he's dude, OG Ken is passionate, and that's what gets me pumped every time I hear him speak about this game, because dude, the man, like I said, he's a machine. He's very consistent. He loves, dude, he fucking loves Shoto's, dude. Shoto's in his blood, dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so, kind of going into the whole Hyper Fighting coming out, I feel like this whole beef that he's had with, so OG Ken with APOC, if people don't know who APOC is, just search APOC and put Street Fighter behind it, and you'll see he's another old school player. And these two players have had some, they've had some words exchange on Facebook, and it's come to the point where, you know, OG Ken has been challenging him at, you know, he pretty much challenged him and is willing to pay his flight to come down and play him. So what do you think, man?
They both love the game. APOC, I'm cool with APOC from GGPO days. And Ken, I grew up with him. He was my neighbor across the street. He taught me how to play Street Fighter at a high level. I played it before him, but he taught me, like, he broke down the game, like footsies and everything. He showed me like how to play competitively. Man, like I got love for both of them, and I feel like it's good for the scene that they both have strong opinions, and that, you know, they want to show the world who's better. That's better for the whole scene. That's what I think, you know. So that's I hope this match happens. You know, I don't know what the exact drama is, but I think basically one person thinks the other princess is not good, or both of them feel the same way, and then they have to settle it in, you know, in a money match, or, you know, however, whatever. But the people want to see it happen. You know what I mean? Like, they got everybody hyped up.
Everybody. Dude, but the thing is, the one of the main reasons that, you know, people call out APOC is, dude, APOC hasn't been around in the scene for a long time. Okay, like I said, I'm not talking shit about APOC, but dude, bro, you know you haven't came out and done anything in, like, since, I don't know, fucking, I don't know, 10, 12 years, dude. You know, you've been sitting there, you haven't done anything, and it's not like, you know, we're hating on you. It's like, yo, you know, if you claim you're the best, you can't claim you're the best when you're online. Like, I've played you online, you're good. But dude, it's like, you know, Uchi Ken plays online. He's willing. The man is literally telling you, bro, what's your account? Here's the money. Come out, play some games. We'll money match. We'll still have fun. It's not like you're gonna come out and we're gonna beat you up. No one's gonna beat you up, man. No one's threatening you. It's just the hype, you know. It's like, back it up, dude. Because, like I said, you know, all this hype that happens online, it's like, you can't be just talking about and saying like, oh, well, you can't be talking shit and then saying that, you know, you're gonna pay my flight and then you can't cash a check that your mouth can't write and blah blah, all this shit, you know.
Yeah, you can't just sit on your previous accomplishments and just ride that out forever. You know what I mean? Like, there's no doubt that APOC was a top player back then, but every now and then the challengers come, you have to come out and defend your title. Otherwise, you have to stop talking. You know what I mean? And I think that's what this all, like, how it all started. You know what I mean? It was the talking. Like, hey, young guy, you know what I mean? Like, this newcomer, like, you don't think you're all that. Like, yeah, I've been around. But, like, if you say that, you kind of have to come back out. Yeah, you're right. You have to come back out and you have to defend it. You know what I mean? Like, all right, let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that I hope, why I'm loving this whole everything that's going on right now, because it's not just like, you know, I get it, guys. You know, there's a lot of you Super Turbo loyalists. I love Super Turbo. I'm not kidding. You know, who am I kidding? I love Super Turbo. But, dude, honestly, I've been playing Hyper. I play Champion Edition. I'll play fucking SF2 if I have to. I love Street Fighter 2 in general. So what makes me a better Super Turbo player is going back down and getting those mechanics. That's why OG Ken, if you guys go to one of the posts on the No Honor crew, you'll see the whole the conversation that OG Ken, he goes back and he's, you know, OG Ken will break down Champion Edition for you. He'll break down Hyper Fight. He'll tell you the different speeds, all this, you know, and this is someone that loves the game, you know, and that's why it's nothing. It's not like he's just trying to, you know, talk shit and blah, blah, blah. No, he's trying to.
And he's also saying, hey, meet me out there and I'll defend it. I'll back it up. And,
exactly. And
that's what the scene needs. You know, everybody is so PC. Like, they don't want to say, you know, I'm good, or, you know, I'm better than you. No one says that anymore. You know what I mean? The last time we had that was Afro and Damdai. And, dude, I think that was awesome. And that lit the whole scene on fire. People that didn't watch ST got into ST. You know what I mean? Like, that brought so many people into our scene that weren't a part of it. And I think we need more of that to bring hype. None of this is going to lead to any kind of violence. Nothing is personal. It's just one player telling the other player, I think I'm better than you and I want to prove it to the world.
Dude, you know? and that's the thing. It makes it so exciting. And a lot of you people who just, you know, you say you love Super Turbo, hey, venture out and like I said, look at the hyper fighting scene. It's still Street Fighter. It's fun. It's exciting. In all this drama that's happening, like, even with OG Ken and APOC, like I said, I don't want to be an instigator. I want to promote it. Let's make it happen. Like, I want to be able to, like, yo, let's stream it. I want to help out. If I have to throw down money as a pop bonus, dude, I'll do it, dude. I just want to see this happen because it's two great players that I think will show everybody how technical even hyper fighting was, you know, because people go like, oh, that game was broken. Like, no, bro, Super Turbo is broken too in some way, you know, like they see like, oh, Vega's just fucking flying off the wall and they're doing this, you know, like blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing, you know, and the main thing that I want everybody to see is like there's other players out there creating hype, I don't know if you've heard of this other guy named Rocky Rose. Have you heard of that guy too?
Oh, dude, that guy's a legend, man. Ever since I've seen his video, man, this guy, he's got his little niche down, his shtick, you know, whatever. But dude, I love it, man.
Dude, this guy is fucking hilarious, and I love people like this in the scene, man. Like, dude. I'm going to promote his. So first of all, if you guys are listening to this, go check out Rocky Rose on YouTube. That's his channel. This man plays on Fight Kid all the time. He literally has, dude, maybe 10 different names. But
let's hype him up too much. Okay, so what he does is he'll sneak in with a name that you haven't heard of, beat you one time, and then quit, and then make a video about it and tell the world. And it fucking, like, if you the guy that got beat, and you thought it was just a warm-up match, dude, you're so fucking heated. But, you know, he's done this to everybody. Fucking Watson, he's done this to fucking DGV, like all the top players, because he comes in with a random name, he beats you one time, and he leaves. And I think that's fucking hilarious, dude, because he gets everybody so heated. He doesn't give you a chance to run it back.
And it's hilarious because, dude, he used to have a video on here that I guess he took out already, but he was calling out Mike Watson, like, yo, Mike Watson, you chicken shit, like pretty much calling him out.
Yeah.
Saying like, yo, this guy's a scrub. He's just, you know, he only wants to play Super Turbo, blah, blah. And I'm just like, dude, first of all, you're the one sitting at home playing Fight Kid. You have, look at this. Let's see how many different names. So I'm on this. So he has Rocky Rose 47, Rocky Rose 12, Rocky Rose 56, Rocky Rose 11, Rocky Rose 12, Rocky Rose 10, Rocky Rose 2011, 2012. Dude, how many fucking names in emails do you have to make to freaking keep changing your name and shit, dude? It's like, it's just it's hilarious, man. And he in his titles of his matches, it's like Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, top Guile player gets decimated. It's like,
you know, if you got hit with it, like, I could see how you would be bitter too, because you're like, nah, fuck that, let's run it back. But he never ever plays you a second time. He'll catch you with that one game off guard, record it, upload it, talk mad shit, and it'll be hilarious too. He's got an accent, like, he lives out in a farm, he's like talking about the cornfields, and then midway through he has a little shih tzu come in, his little dog, and he pets his dog, hey, what's up, and he'll go back to shit. Oh my god, dude, it's genius, dude. Like, dude, this could be on TV, man. I love it, dude.
He's incredible. I think I have a little clip of his voice. It's like, I think I got one. It's like, let's see.
Canada, I'm on my maximum velocity, playing GZS, WZD, whatever. There we go. I'm player two.
I hope that's his real accent, man.
Dude, he is such from the country boy, man. And guys, if you go to his YouTube channel, it's not like it's good quality. He literally sets up a camera that's recording off his laptop. And it's like moving, and he's like, dude, if this man is holding the camera while he's playing, then dude, he's a god.
Right.
Oh gosh. But yeah, but you know, I don't want to toot his boat so much, but it's just stuff like this that's bringing this whole scene back, you know, and kind of going from there, you know, the 82 tournament was going on, the OG Ken money match. I hope that goes. And then, Super Arcade is gonna be actually having another Hyper Fighting tournament coming up.
Man, you guys gotta follow that. I'm hyping up, but it's not hype. It's real, man. Like, you gotta. This scene right now is fire, dude. Like, this is an up and coming scene where everybody is hungry and everybody wants it, and like, you know, they're not friends with anybody. Like, they just want to get out there and be good or the best in that region, dude. Like, if you're into Street Fighter, you're into competition, you guys have to like follow everything. I wish they had like weeklies and they recorded things and uploaded. Like, there's nobody that really took the mantle so far.
Yeah.
It's all pretty raw. You know what I mean? Like, it's how it was like back in the days when you used to go to like, everybody would meet up at 7-Eleven and fucking, you know, just try to be the best. Like, that's how it is right now. It's so raw, dude. Like, this is fucking Street Fighter in its purest form, dude.
Oh, dude, and it's so good. That's why, like I said, if you're in the SoCal area, Super Arcade is going to be having a Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting tournament. It's going to be on Sunday, April. No, not April. We're in fucking May. Yeah, Sunday, May 26th. I believe that's a Sunday. It's going to be at 4 p.m. And there's a guaranteed pot bonus. Or not pot bonus. There's going to be a guaranteed pot. And there's going to be, what I hear, what Watson said, there's going to be a top player from overseas visiting, dude.
That's going to be sick. I don't know who it could be, and also I don't know anybody else like out of state. Well, fuck, there's the other top player I could think of is Old Master from GGPO or Fightcade. He's a Canadian hyper fighter player. He's a really good player too. I don't think it's him. If it's overseas, usually it's gonna be a Japanese player, I think,
dude. But I think the hyper fighting scene, I don't even think it's from Japan. I think it's like more like Korea, maybe Korea or even China, dude.
Yeah, I know China for sure still plays it at a really high level. Like you can still search up YouTube videos of like top players there that are insane. But who's going to travel? I still think it's going to be Japan, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, but that's the thing, dude. So I'm telling everybody, please make it. And so I want to let everybody know that this will be the first time that Mongolo Robo Talks will be at the event. Me and hopefully Mike. You think you're going to be able to make it, Mike?
I'm gonna try and make it too.
Okay.
I'm gonna try clear the calendar and
yeah. Get down. So everybody that's listening, I will be there. I'm going to be competing in it. I'm going to be hopefully streaming a little bit. I'm going to be recording, doing some videos, and hopefully getting some interviews with some of these players that we're talking about because, like I said, I want everybody who's listening to this to actually check the scene out. And it kind of reading about the players. So it says, I guess the visiting player is going to be from the Asian CPS 1 Street Fighter 2 scene. So I guess it says he's from the Champion Edition Hyper Fighting scene from the mainland China in South Korea. So there you go, man. So either from the mainland China and South Korea that we never get to hear about. That we never get to hear about because all we hear about is just Super T in Japan. So that's going to be pretty badass.
Because their scene, from what I heard, Hyper Fighter never died. They kept playing it like how we play ST. So whoever's coming down, I think it's going to be a rude awakening. Like I said, everybody in the hyper scene right now is hungry, but everybody also has tons of improvements that they can make. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Like to me, the scene right now, hyper, is like how when HDR first came out and there's a bunch of new players like me and like, you know, like C Vital and like a bunch of those guys that were new. That's how the scene is right now with hyper. You're watching all these guys grow right before your eyes, dude. Like they're just, you can tell that they're gonna be fucking amazing, you know what I mean? And they're right when the fire is burning the hottest, this is the time to check it out. That's what I'm trying to preach right now.
Yeah, no, but that's awesome, man. Like I said, hopefully everybody, if you're in the area, please make it. Like I said, it's going to be on May 26th at 4 p.m. at Super Arcade. Please follow them on Twitter at Super Dojo. Follow them on Facebook, Super Arcade, and check it out, you know, or follow us, you know, also on Facebook. We can help you out because, like I said, I will be there. Hopefully Papercut can join us as well. But I will be streaming and, you know, hopefully doing some interviews and recording some matches. So, you know, everybody can kind of see this awesome new hype that's coming on, dude. So before we end on the hyper, dude, do you have any more thoughts on the hyper scene? Anything that you want to kind of let, anything on your chest, you know, that you want to kind of let go of talking about the hyper fighting scene?
Man, I just want to talk about some of the players, I guess, like what's going on. So I already mentioned that Blanca player, Huey. There's another player that he frequents there a lot. His name is Brian. He plays Ryu. Dude, that guy is fucking stone cold, man. I've like seen him a few times and I went to shake his hand and he just like, he doesn't make eye contact. He shakes the hand kind of like reluctantly or whatever. But like, you know what I mean? Like he's another one that I expect to be like climbing the ranks. He's going to be a top player. There's one of the second place team of the team tournament. There was a Ken player. He kind of looks like a fucking like a modern day samurai or Yakuza. He's a Ken player. That guy plays amazingly well in tournament environment too. Like I played him casuals and I just felt like, yeah, whatever. But like in tournament, like man, I was surprised. A lot of the guys during tournament, they were actually really clutch. I didn't expect that from a scene that was like so new. You know what I mean? Like I thought know, the pressure would make them choke, but some of them did, but some guys that didn't, they really excelled. Like, you know, like I just want to shout those guys out. Like, shout out to you guys. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know everybody's name. I've only went a few times, but the few times that I went, this is my impression. I'm blown away. The scene is fucking off the hook, man. And I hope someone picks up the mantle and does record weeklies because this shit is lit.
Dude, like you said, man, that shit gets intense. And I know you've had, you know, your some of your stories there with some of the players, you know. So
yeah, I'm a little bit like too excited or whatever, you know what I mean? But like it's all love for the game, man. It's all love.
Oh yeah. And that's, you know, that's all we have in this scene. So hopefully I can even get some of these hyper fighting guys, cats, you know, that if I see them at the tournament at Super Arcade. So yeah, yo, yeah, see them, and hopefully we can get them on board with, you know, hey, we're all good peeps. You know, keep spreading the word of Street Fighter. You know, it's not just Super Turbo. There's five different Street Fighter 2 games, and everybody loves a different rendition of the game. So
hopefully, so that's awesome. Hopefully we work our way over to, like, you know, Street Fighter 4 and 5, and we come, like, you know, become mainstream, and we don't have to work anymore, and we can just talk about Street Fighter all day.
Dude, that's the American dream, dude. Fuck, dude, that would be so nice. All right, man, so before we go, man, hey, can you please, like I said, we've been on the scene for a very long time. We have tons of memories, tons of experiences, you know, as people are here listening to us. I want us to, before we leave every time, can you please tell me a dangerous paper cut Hollywood story?
Yeah, I wanted to tell this like the last time too. So, you know, when you go to tournament, you have like your experiences along the way, or, you know, whatever events or whatever that come along. This one is near and dear to my heart. I'll remember this till the day that I die. We used to go Wednesday night fights. Via used to host them at, I think it was called Hollywood Park. It was a casino.
Yeah.
So, this one time, well, our like buddies in crime or whatever you want to call it was Marcus, Chris, me, and Bruce Askew. He was HDR DJ player that plays really high at Evil too.
Yeah, for those people that don't know, you know, we had Mucus, Cinco, and then Bruce Askew.
Yeah. So we were heading there. This is our second time going to that event. And so we got on the freeway, and then I, like, none of us was sure where it was, but I was like, I think the exit starts with a C or something like that, you know? So like whatever you see an exit with a C, just exit. So Marcus was driving. I was sitting shotgun. Chris was behind me and Bruce was behind Marcus. And we were on the 105 and exited Central. We made, you know, we started going north, and the event, the venue was in this retail location or commercial location. So after a certain point, when we didn't see any more commercial buildings or retail buildings, like it started turning to all residentials. We were kind of like, oh man, I think we're kind of lost. And Marcus made a right turn. And when he made that right, I looked up and the street was Grape Street. And I used to listen to a lot of rap, like watch a lot of, like, you know, Don't Be a Menace, Boys in the Hood, and, you know, I listened to NWA and, you know, all that. And then when I saw that, I just, like, you know, gave out a chuckle, and I was like, is this Grape Street? And then Chris was, like, you know, heavy in the music, you know, industry too. So like he started laughing. He looked up and he's like, oh shit, I think we're in Grape Street. And then Marcus is like, well, why are you guys reacting like that? What's Grape Street? What is this? You know? And I was like, Man, so basically, so that street we exit on the freeway, Central, I think right now we're in South Central, LA, the hood. And Grape Street is one of the most active Crip gangs, you know, Crips and Bloods. They're one of the most Crip gangs in the neighborhood, you know? And then when I said that, as we turn into the street, like one of the first houses, you just see like a group of guys standing on the porch with like blue rags from head to toe, you know, like it was more like purple because it was like they were like grape, so there was more like a purple color for their to identify or whatever. But like as soon as we turned in, they were like, when you watch Animal Planet, the safari, like lions or whatever, it was like the lions when they saw like a gazelle run through, like all the heads popped up and then turned towards us at the same time and like in sync, you know. And they just started like tapping each other in the chest and the shoulder, like, hey, you guys see this?
Oh, and it's shit. Like,
it's like two white boys, a Chinese guy, and a Mexican guy in a beat up old fucking car, you know? And I've seen like old gangbang gangster movies to know, like, when a beat up old car comes by with a full of heads, that's like a drive by, right? So I was like, so I told Marcus, like, we're kind of like in a dangerous situation. And he was like, all right, I'll just make a U-turn. I was like, no, Marcus, whatever you do, don't fucking turn around. Just keep moving forward because we're already like not supposed to be here. And they're suspicious, like why we're here. And we're in this beat up old fucking car that looks like you might be doing a fucking drive-by. Damn, right? So he's like, oh, fuck, we keep going. And I'm like, all right, don't worry, Marcus. All we have to do is make a right turn, another right turn, and we'll be back at that big street that we're at, you know? So he makes a right, and I'm like, all right, cool, one more. And then instead of making the right, he makes a left, and we make a Z, and we go deeper into the fucking hood, and I just throw my hands up. I'm like, fuck it, dude. Like, I don't know what to do now. Now I lose my fucking composure, right? And I'm like, Marcus, whatever you do, just don't turn back the same way we came. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, we just have to keep moving forward. You know, it's like in Mario Brothers, when you step on the bridge and it falls apart.
Oh, yeah.
You die. You know what I mean? And as we go into the hood, you see just like guys in blue bandanas just come out of the woodworks. It's like The Walking Dead when the zombies come out. They just like walk onto the street. Like when we come by, like their heads look at us all the way when we pass. And then they walk into the street in the middle of the street and stare at us. And we're like, oh, fuck. Like we're fucking really deep in this motherfucker right now, dude. And we're like, dude, does anybody have navigation? And then like Bruce was quiet the whole time. And he's like, all right, I have a sidekick. I have navigation, but this is going to cost me money. Like, I don't have data. There's like back then there was no free data, right?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That shit was so expensive to even use any of that.
Everybody's like, fuck it, dude. Just turn it on, man. Get us the fuck out of here. We'll fucking pay you back when we get there. You know what I mean? He's reluctantly, he turns on his fucking navigation and he fucking like navigates us out. And then as we're turning out, finally we see like the blue and red lights of a police car. And we're like, oh, fuck. I've never been so fucking happy to see fucking cops. You know what I mean? Like, and they were pulling over some other gangbangers, like, all in bandanas, like, on the street. And we're like, fuck. And the navigation's like, all right, the freeway's up ahead. And then, like, it was like we saw, man, like, how do you describe this, man? Like, when you just reached the promised land, you know what I mean? Like, we heard the cars whiz by from the freeway. We saw the ramp. We're like, hallelujah. You know what I mean? Like, we fucking... We jump on that motherfucker and then, you know, we jump on that shit and finally get to Wednesday night fights. And that incident was forever between us is known as the Grape Street incident. You know what I mean? And then when we're at the tournament, I run into Snake Eyes and he's from South Central. You know what I mean? So he knows the area. And I was like, man, we almost died on the way over here. And it's like, oh, for real, man? Like, it was a car accident? What happened, you know? I was like, nah, man, we got lost. And we ended up on, like, Grape Street in South Central. Oh, man. Yeah, you guys are in a bad spot, dude. Like, that's a no-no. I don't know why you guys ended up there. I was like, you're telling me, man. Like, and then Marcus was like, dude, in my whole life, I felt like that was one of the few times that legit, like, I felt like my life was in danger.
Oh, man. And especially, like, the people that were with you, you know, like, I feel like the one man that could probably survive in that area, probably, you know, with Cinco probably making his way out of that, but just having everybody else being like, Chris, where the hell are we?
Cinco was a fucking comedian, yo. So, I didn't help either, because when we were like, when we were in there, I said, I turned and I said, you know what, guys, I haven't known you guys for so long, but I feel honored to have met you, and I think if I die today, I'll be all right. And that really set Marcus off, because Marcus was like, what the fuck? Nah, hell no, we're not dying today, you know. he sat up straight on his fucking car and it was like, nah, we're getting us fucking out of here, you know what I mean? We're gonna make it. And then Chris was when we started zigzagging in deep in the hood, Chris was like, hey, maybe we should stop and ask one of these guys coming out, like, hey man, we're lost, we're trying to find the video game convention. It was a little bit of comedy relief, like, you know, in between times, but yeah, like, Chris is fucking hilarious, dude. That was one of the jokes and one of the most dangerous situations that, you know, I was been in.
Oh man, now was it all worth it? Did any of you four win Wednesday night fights,
man? You know what, that was the most memorable thing of the night. I don't even know what we placed or whatever, but yeah, man, that was an experience.
That's crazy.
Me and Marcus, and you know, Bruce, if he would have, you know, hung around, but he kind of just stopped coming. But yeah, that's what bonds me and Chris so much. We had that, you know, that fucking life-threatening situation that, you know, we can always call back to and, you know, just laugh about now in hindsight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right on. Oh man, that's an awesome story. So thank you for that, man. Thanks for sharing that. And hopefully throughout this podcast, we have plenty of more stories from Mr. Dangerous Paper Cut, and maybe I'll throw in some of my crazy stories next time. So, but you know, like, before we leave, thanks again, Paper Cut, for agreeing to be the new co-host of Mongol Robo Talks. I'm sure hopefully people will love you. Hey, if you guys hate him, if there's negative comments, then dude, I'm gonna have to kick you out.
Dude, the people can hate me, I'm fine with that, man. Like, not everybody has to like everybody. That's what I'm trying to say, man. You got to get competitive again. But you know,
oh hell yeah.
Like I said, I had a lot of fun the last time, and I had a lot of fun this time. And whatever happens, I just hope that we keep having fun. That's it.
Oh hell yeah, man! And like I said, this is super fun. I'm glad that you're part of this team now, and hopefully, you know, the future holds nothing but great things for us. So before we leave, again, let everybody know where everybody can find you, Mr. Paper Cut.
I can't really be found. I guess I have a Twitter, @DangerousPaperCut. I have a Facebook. It was Dangerous Paper Cut before, but like Facebook was like, nah, you need a real name. So I was like, Mike Hawk.
Of course it would be that.
But you know, it was because, you know, T-Hawk, I play T-Hawk and my name is Mike. So yeah, you know, so Mike Hawk and Dangerous Paper Twitter.
All right. And for everybody, you can find me on Twitter at Mongolo Robo Talks or at Mongolo Robo and then the capital TKS. You can find the official Mongolo Robo Talks page on Facebook, as well. And then I actually started streaming again. I will be uploading some first to tens that I had actually over the weekend. I had a couple of good first to tens on Super T. So you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Mongolo Robo. Mongolo Robocop. And then and if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, like I said, always hit me up on an email. That's the mangopodcast@hotmail.com. So thanks again, Mike. It was great talking to you again. And hopefully we have nothing but great stuff in the upcoming weeks, because we have tons of Super T, or actually not Super T, we have tons of Street Fighter 2 action coming up.
Yep. Just Street Fighter in general.
Exactly. So I hope you have a good night, man. And to you, you know, I say thank you, and everybody else, peace out.
Thank you. Peace out.
Peace out.